If you have your Bibles this evening, would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 this evening, third part, and Lord willing, our last part, finish out this lesson, this session here, session 8, and searching for wisdom as we've gone through it, the different views, the helicopter view, the dashboard view. The helicopter view is oftentimes we believe that we ought to be able to see all that is going on and why there's particular trials that are going forward. But as Scripture allows us, in wisdom, in the dashboard view, we get to see what is the next step. And that's all we need to be concerned about, is what is the next step in moving forward in life and dealing with trials, troubles, and tribulations. Here in verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 4, if you'd follow along with me, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And we're speaking again on the search for wisdom. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon this time, and then we'll commence our study of this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for this evening. I thank You for the music, opportunity to worship and praise Your name. Father, to lift up and glorify You, who are truly worthy of all glory and praise. And Father, we do pray for this evening. I commit it to Thee. I ask You, Lord, to help me as I preach Your word. Father, I ask that You would guide my lips. And Lord, I do pray, as we have our midweek service, Father, just that this would be a time of refreshment. Lord, a time of just kind of recharging our jets to finish out the week and, Lord, to honor and glorify You. Father, there's much going on out in the world, but may the church, may this place be a place of respite. And so, Father, we trust that You'll do that. We lean upon You. We love You and thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Some of the things, just a little bit of review that we looked at. Adam was not created autonomous. And the direction, as you think this, Adam was to listen, designed to listen to God for direction in life. And this direction was to come from God as he fellowshiped with him. And there, as they would walk in the cool of the garden, and obviously he stopped listening because the serpent intervened. The serpent got them deceived, and they started listening to wisdom other than what God wanted them. And this is not a new theme, something that we haven't looked at. But if we're to move out of the foolishness of our own hearts and develop a renewed mind, we've got to not only endeavor, but we also must discipline ourselves to seek and to hear the wisdom of God, and rather than listening to my heart. And as we looked at last week, several things in being a learner, learner of the Lord, and the spiritual direction that God gives through leaders there. In Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 1:20 and 23, wisdom, Christ himself, crieth without, turn you at my reproof. And over again in the Proverbs, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, Proverbs 2:1, we'll find this idea that the Lord giveth wisdom, my son, forget not my law, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and you'll hear ye children the instruction of a father, and you'll find it from a father, from a mother, and so on and so forth as we look at the Proverbs. And there is a continual theme of not listening to our heart, not listening to our emotions or emotionally derived direction, but in fact to listen to the direction of God, listen to His word, and to listen to wisdom from those that are walking with the Lord. Never in Proverbs is a man advised to listen to his own heart. Don't follow your heart. Scripture is very clear on that. And again, don't listen to the strange woman. Don't listen to her seductive speech. It talks about it being smoother than oil and even like honey. But in fact, her end is bitter as wormwood, as the Proverbs will attest. And so the cornerstone of wisdom is really a dependent and submissive heart that shows itself by a keen attention to God and to spiritual leaders as we look at this. And so we must make it a habit of life to listen to God. Remembering God's word is tied to our relationship with Him. And as we looked at several things, I want to look at this idea again here in Proverbs. We're going to look at a number of verses here in Proverbs. If you want to turn to Proverbs 1, we're going to look at this. of God calling us to listen to Him. And not only did God call, as we looked before, at different leaders, you know, listen to the Father, listen to the leaders, and listen ultimately to the Lord, but in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, Solomon's exhortation to this end, how to preserve himself from evil. Proverbs 1, 8, he says, you know, this exhortation towards wisdom and our relationship with Him. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So again, here's an exhortation to hear instruction and don't forget the truths from which you were taught. Apply thine heart to understanding, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So when you get wisdom, wisdom is you execute that wisdom gain, it's understanding as you get that. Proverbs 3, 1, my son, forget not my law. And the verse goes on. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So God is, in God's word and our relationship to Him, is these words are to be written upon our heart. As we spoke about several weeks ago, I believe it was on Mother's Day, dealing with Deuteronomy chapter 6, when thou risest up, when thou standest, when thou sittest, when thou goest about thy way, essentially there in Deuteronomy 6, you know, bind them upon thine heart. And that's the very same idea and the same thought that's given here, is that wisdom is to be part and parcel of how we act. And verse 21 of chapter 3 says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Over and over again, let thine heart retain my words. Forsake her wisdom, you know, forsake her not. Verse 6 of chapter 4. And she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. So it is a very redundant theme in the Scriptures of this idea of wisdom and what I'm supposed to do with it. Look with me again at chapter 6, verse 21, with respect to wisdom. Well, let's look at verse 20 for the context there. Proverbs 6, 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. Everything in all the direction that I'm going ought to be guided and directed by the very principles of God's Word. And the list goes on. And it ought to dictate our responses. And some of the things we ought not to, forget is really in the memorization of Scriptures. We do have these monthly verses here. And I don't know if you have your own verses that maybe you're personally trying to memorize. But these are values, you know, even for this month. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He knows what He's doing. He's a buckler. That word buckler there is a shield to all those that trust in Him. And when hardships come, I can hide behind the very shield of God. And so we take these principles and truths, we impart them into our heart, meditate upon them, and we move forward with them. And we can remember them. Now, let's think about this. Suppose a young man is trying to date a young girl, and maybe they're in college, and he finds out that this girl is maybe allergic to daisies. He's not going to forget that allergy. He's not going to go out and buy a dozen daisies or, you know, whatever, you know, daisies for. He's not going to do that if he really has a care for her. You know, if something's important to us, we make it a part of our life to put into our life. You know, sometimes there's this thought, I can't remember things. I can't memorize Scripture. It's too hard. But if there is something that's important to us, I will make it a point, whatever I've got to do, to train myself, to discipline myself, to put that into my life. And so our importance and the level of importance with which we place upon an item will determine how much effort I put into it. And so in our care for this, and what we love, we're going to put time in. And the psalmist David, he was very intent. He wanted to know God's nature. He wanted to know God. And David understood the laws and words of God. Solomon understood God's word, the wisest man who ever lives. Unfortunately, he would teach things, and he taught wonderful truths, but he failed to implement it. Now, obviously, there in Ecclesiastes, or later on. But I mean, in Solomon, in his life, yeah, there in Ecclesiastes, the end of his life, he's reminiscing on how the fact of how futile life is, because he's just wasted many years. Wonderful truths here in Proverbs, but he didn't always follow through on them, and there was a lot of regrets. Now, I want to look here. David understood God's word. Look with me at Psalm 119, and we'll read verses 4 through 16 here in Psalm 119. And David understood the laws and the words of God, and that they are a very reflection of his nature. In Psalm 119, verse 4, if you're there, Psalm 119, verse 4, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Verse 6. "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart." Look with me what he says here. "When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." He is putting a preeminence upon God's word. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments." He's putting here his whole heart seeking God, and it's through the seeking of the commandments of God. "Not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." God, I don't want to offend you. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." It'd be very analogous here. David's concern for his relationship that he has with God, kind of, if you think about it, as a young man and a young woman, or people, you know, as two individuals are interested in each other, a man and a woman are interested in each other for the sake of pursuing marriage, they're going to learn about each other. They're going to learn their quirks. They're going to learn what they like and dislike, and they're going to learn their loves and passions and hobbies. And that's a very simplistic way to look at it. But David here is saying, "God, I just want to know all about you." And if we think about this in this search for wisdom, "God, I just want to know all about you. God, I want to have a better relationship with you. God, I don't want to offend you. God, I don't want you mad at me and displeased with me." As you think about, it's not, as David's looking at it, he's not treating God as though, you know, it's kind of like a motor vehicle manual, right? As you're going out to drive on the roads and you're there at the, you know, motor vehicle department and you're trying to take your test drive to get on the roads and get your driver's license and move forward with it. You're not, it's just not just a manual like that. It's not this very rigid, dull, boring, just set of rules. David's putting a preeminence and a focus on saying, "God, I just want to know you." And he understands that the knowing of God comes from his commandments. And this, the word of God really is a self-revelation of God. It's his love letter. And that was one of the things, is the first time I remember reading through the Bible for the first time, all the way through, I got to the end and I said, "Wow, this is God's love letter to humanity." And I just remember that so clearly many, many years ago when I did that. And it just struck me, because I'm like, why didn't I know this earlier? You know, I was in my early 20s when I first saw that, and I was like, why didn't I know that earlier? I had never heard that, you know, as I thought about it. But I got to understand some things about God and begin to start the process of delighting in him. And obviously many distractions would come. But in this desire to know God and his words, there's a mastery, and our desire is to say, "God, I want to know you more." Let's look in James chapter 1, verse 25. And this tells us really how to approach the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is not to be approached as though it is a beating stick to bring people in line. The Word of God ought to be quite a thing to use to gently lead us and guide us into a better relationship with the Lord. It is obviously used also as a protection from those with false doctrine. But in verse 25 of James chapter 1, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So there is a liberty, looketh in the perfect law of liberty, a doer of the work, and it talks about blessings. So how do we remember not to forget? Let's look at verse 19 of chapter 1. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." You know, when pressure mounts in our life and unfortunate, unforeseen circumstances come upon us, many times we are given to being quite the opposite. Quick to speak, quick to wrath, and slow to hear. And Peter, James's co-pastor of the church here, he's giving these words in the congregation saying, "Listen, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Understanding that if we don't deal with this in the proper fashion and we don't act in wisdom, you know, if you're on the road and someone's behaving erratically in front of you, you could very well endanger others. And if you're erratic while they're erratic, it creates greater pandemonium there on the freeway or on the interstate. And so that's why he tells us, let's look at the next passage of Scripture, and Peter gives us some instruction on this, 1 Peter 1:13, a verse and a passage that I had looked at several weeks ago, preached on a Sunday night, verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So again, pressure times here, and this is obviously the believers here in 1 Peter are under great pressure. "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, be self-controlled, and hope to the end for the grace." So these pressure times of life are not times to give in to kind of a sloppy type thinking, a sloppy, undisciplined, uncontrolled thinking. These times when pressure comes upon us, I am to apply wisdom and also lean upon the wisdom. As Proverbs tells us, you bind it upon your heart. If it's bound upon my heart, it's controlling my heart. In a fashion here, when you have a servo, you have a little motor that's turning something. And there's a chip, there's a board that's attached to the servo that might be turning something, or, you know, even like on a clock, there's a board and it's, you know, it's telling this this little motor how fast to turn and what rate to turn and all of that. Well, that board is directing that little motor from moving. Well, that board is the Word of God, like our heart, is attached to our heart. It ought to be giving us, so when that servo is moving, it's moving in a very disciplined, controlled fashion. But it's easy to give in when that pressure comes and not to seek the wisdom, not to apply the wisdom, not to that which is bound upon my heart is that with which I will act. So he also tells us, you know, after this swift to hear, slow to speak, going back to James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. He says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." So again, he's saying you receive God's word with there in the humility, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the law, perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So he's telling us, don't be a forgetful hearer. You know, we've heard many, many messages, lots of preaching, heard lots of truth. But it's easy to become a forgetful hearer and not a doer. In fact, that'll be the message on Sunday, some of, portion of it, as Jesus deals with the Pharisees there in Matthew 5. This idea of speaking truth, they also spoke a lot of customs and traditions, but nevertheless, they did not live out. They lived in hypocrisy. If we are teaching, but we're not living, then we're a forgetful hearer. Because truth not applied is not understanding. Wisdom applied is understanding. And we ought to look into the perfect law of liberty. There's liberty in God's wisdom. In fact, that wisdom brings freedom, John 8:32. And so this word looketh is to bend over, is the operative word in James 1:25. It means to bend over. Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. So they are, they're looking there for something better, understanding how not to be a forgetful hearer, and they're peering with intent. Have you ever been around someone who's maybe lost their contact lens on the carpet? And, you know, they're looking frantically for it. They don't want to vacuum it up. They don't want to do anything. Don't move. I'm going to look. I think I know where it's at. And there you are on all fours, crawling around, trying to find that little contact lens. It's not a casual glancing. It's not a, I don't really see it. I'm on my way. No, you say, I want to find it. And so this idea of looking into the perfect law of liberty is a great intention. I mean, you're putting forth a lot of effort to look into the perfect law of liberty. You are seeking for wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2 through 6, Proverbs 2:2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And in this very passage, there's a great intensity. Searches for her as for hid treasures. And so I look there, and if I am struggling in an area, I look again and again and again, and I'm asking God, show me how to find a solution to the area that I'm struggling with in my life. Because God, I don't want to forget it. God, you're meditating, you're focusing upon it, you're studying it with a full intention of, I want to apply this. For any person that knows how to worry, they also know how to meditate. You know, it could be, as the author says, several examples. He says, a worrier takes one thought, like, I just know I'll never get married, or I'm afraid my husband will leave me, or we don't have any money left, and looks single-mindedly at that thought from every possible angle, examining every possible implication and application of that thought to him or her personally. Worriers are skilled in the process of meditation. They take whatever that object of worry is, and they try to look at it from a 3D angle, from every aspect. Are they trying to look at that situation to figure out how to solve that which is creating a consternation of mind? If I can do that in a worrisome fashion, why can't I do that with troublesome situations and say, God, I need your wisdom on this? I want to reflect, I want to think about, I want to meditate, I want to apply. And so I start with the revealed Word of God. Rather than starting with a worry to solve the problem, why don't I start with the wisdom of God, finding a solution in God's economy, God's worldview, and say, God, help me find it. Sometimes it involves that we look up verses upon particular areas of life. But this meditation, this seeking for wisdom, it involves an interaction with God. as Proverbs over and over again, and as David there in Psalm 119, you know, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word, he's saying, listen, God, I want to stay pure. I know my steps in life. I know I can go astray, but God, I don't want to go there. And so there's that interaction with God. God, I want you to reveal yourself to me. God, I want you to reveal your wisdom to me so that I can stay in fellowship with you. In Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. When you think about this, God's word gives exposure. In Proverbs 1:23, it reads, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God's saying, listen, I'm going to reprove you. And I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to give you conviction. I'm going to help you turn. In 1 John 3:22, it talks about doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. God wants to remove those barriers to our fellowship with Him. What are those things in my life that are hindering me from really enjoying the presence of God, enjoying that sweet fellowship? There's a reflection again as you think about the worry there. So whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the question is, you might be asking, how long do I need to peer in? How long do I need to look, as James 1:25 tells us? Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work there in James 1:21. We must not forget what God has told us, and we must continue peering in until the word makes a difference in our lifestyle and in our practice. So this is not, I'm just reading through in a quick fashion. This is why in the mornings, you know, when you're doing your devotions in the morning and you're spending time with God, if I'm just reading the Bible to get through a chapter at a time and I'm not intent on getting to know God, it has no application. It's not going to help me because I'm merely doing an exercise that's futile, it's vain. You know, and I just want to get through the Bible in a year, and I just got to get through it because that's what you're supposed to do. And there's nothing inherently wrong with it if you're going to spend the time to glean and learn from it as you go through it. But if you're just doing it to do it without the interest of what does God have to say for that and get to know Him that day, then you're wasting your time. You know, as I struggle through different areas, you know, and as I look at God's Word and how to deal with these situations, I ought to continue to look and say, what does God think? Well, okay, I didn't deal with it right this time, so what is God? Let's go back, let's deal with it, you know, and move forward. A second indicator of the thoroughness, just lost my place there, is being a doer of the work. So I learn it and you apply it. Have you ever had someone teach you something and maybe it's something new, something out of your familiarity, and they teach you, you know, maybe how to shoot a gun or how to do something else, and they're shooting, you know, they're telling you and they're going through all the exercises, but until you do it yourself, it's going to be difficult. I remember in the military when we had our M16 rifles, M16A2, and we take them apart, put them together, clean them, take them apart, put them together, clean them. And we did that multiple times. It'd take me a while now. I'd have to have someone show me again. But I had to do it. They showed us, but then I had to do it in order to be able to be competent in cleaning that rifle. And that's why in 1 Timothy chapter 4, look with me here, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. In this wisdom, it has to be applied. And so when we hear God's word preached, when we read God's word and God's speaking to our heart, if I don't take those truths and I don't put them down, that's why journaling is a wonderful thing. You write it down, however it applies. I know Dr. Coomer talks about, how can I apply it to my life today? What application can I get from the truths I've learned, and how do I apply it to my life? And he talks about writing those out. But that application, how does it matter to me what I just read? How can it help me in my everyday life? And so you write down a little phrase or a thought on that. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Obviously he's speaking to Timothy, the young pastor, and he's giving him instruction. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of sinner, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And there in Psalm 1, I might have been a few words off, I apologize. But as it deals with that, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there's a counsel of the ungodly, but there's a counsel of godliness. And so there's a reflection, there's a moving forward, there's a discipline to hearing and applying. And so there's a reflection time when you read. Going forward from here, as we take some time to reflect, you know, have you developed a habit of listening to God? Regular time of prayer, Bible study, meditation, prayer, regular in church attendance, and obviously this doesn't apply. You know, obviously you're here faithful, and I appreciate that. Do you willingly receive instruction, correction from the spiritual leaders in your life? Do you have, and as you think about these things, Proverbs depicts the fool as one who does not listen to God to rebuke or to reason. You think about these truths. Can I receive instruction as it is applied through God's Word? Going forth from here, second of all, you can ask yourself, have you developed the habit of remembering what you're told by God? It could be in your personal devotions as you're spending time and you write down that application. Do I remember? Maybe God's saying, listen, you know, there's just one area in your life, one of the areas, that, but God just particular, you know, at this time of life, he's dealing with one such sin in a life and saying, listen, here's how you deal with it. You know, and he just kind of tends to repeat, you know, you have one trial and another trial and another trial. It just seems like in some of these repetitious different trials, there's kind of the same reaction because God's trying to hone and get out of your life this one particular sin. And so I'm remembering, you know, maybe the first time I fail and the second time I say, well, I didn't do so well that time on dealing with this situation. And so I'm saying, God, I need your help. And God gives me direction from his word. He gives me guidance on how to deal with it. And so I take the next step and maybe another trial comes, very similar. And how I would have reacted before, I take those truths and I begin to apply them. I don't react the same way, and little by little, God will continue to bring into our life stressors and pressure points to push out that which needs to be honed in our life. Wisdom doesn't come merely by desiring it. It takes diligent effort to know God and his ways. In Proverbs 13:4, Proverbs chapter 24 first. Let's go there, Proverbs 24. If we don't heed these ways, we come to spiritual poverty. And in our spiritual poverty, we continue to look up and say, what's going on, Lord? Why am I in this situation? And we find ourselves rather unsettled. Proverbs 24:30. Remember this discussion here, in this session here, this lesson, started off with Jesus talking about the wise man and the foolish man. Wise man built his house upon the rock. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man had hard times. He heard God's word, but he didn't apply it. Built his house upon the sand, and when the waves and the trials of life came upon him, he fell apart. Whereas the man on the rock stood firm. Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So here's a man who's received wisdom, but he has not applied it, void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as the one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Spiritual poverty. There's no flourishing. This is a man who, man or woman, it could be a believer, but a believer who does not spend time with God daily. They just kind of go through life, and they're going on their own wisdom, their own understanding, and this brings about, you know, a field all grown over with thorns and nettles and a lot of difficult trials of life. So one of the things, God, there's some exercises that we ought to do in emphasizing that David took his relationship with God seriously. Now, you know, you could take maybe, for instance, Psalm 119, and you go through it, and you just note, maybe there's a particular theme as you're going through Psalm 119 about, you know, the attitude that David had towards God, or maybe something else happens, and you know, in a particular passage of Scripture, or, you know, I remember one year as I was, and started off the year, and I said, God, when I read through the Bible this time, I just want to know your character. Would you reveal your character to me? And he's revealed many other things, but I remember at that time just asking God, I said, Lord, I just want to know you. What is your character like? And Proverbs is a great one, obviously reading a proverb a day, studying it, looking at it. And I found many times over that that was the very truths I needed on the day that I read that Proverbs. In Proverbs 13:4, let's go there. One more slide after this, but Proverbs 13:4. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Right? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. You know, when there may be certain things that come up with which we are in disagreement, that keeping there is a guarding, a protection of our mouth. And in so doing, even if you get very agitated, but you're not verbalizing it, and it's not obviously showing in our countenance, it says, listen, you can save yourself a whole lot of troubles. But in the opening wide of our thoughts, it brings about hard times. And so this is really the application of wisdom resulting in understanding, the warning, and, you know, effort of applying this wisdom that God gives in the search for wisdom. You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. Hard times come, trials come, but he doesn't fall apart. He keeps his mouth, he understands, he looks in the perfect law of liberty, and he's able to withstand those hard times. Because he's not established upon his own heart and his own feelings. He's established upon the truths of which God has given to him. And so, just several things here. This is the last slide here about the culture. You know, in the discipline and discipleship of young children, it's best to start early. And, you know, we got to be careful of entertainment. Be careful of the various mediums. Various, you know, avenues with which we receive communications, television, social media, friends, family, and others. And our daughter, we're careful around our daughter, who she hangs around. We're careful in, you know, the conduct. Just careful, because I want her to grow up to love the Lord and understand the truths of God. You know, someone may be able to sit. I like this idea that he had. You know, a teenager can sit for 3 hours watching a video or playing video games, and, you know, is this good for them? You know, might be thinking, is this helping their concentration? And I know, I remember growing up, we did watch a lot of television, and it took some time to come away from that. I mean, I really struggled in that television and coming away from it. And I just was glued to that. I mean, it was so much so, as I've mentioned before, one of my roommates in college there in university, I asked, you know, he would talk about doing a lot of stuff outside. And we did a lot of stuff outside as well, but we also watched a lot of TV and played a lot of video games and wasted it on a lot of things. And I wish I would have learned more. But, you know, it just took God working on me over and over again to deal with that struggle there for the entertainment. And, you know, it with all of that input, especially with the social media and the things we have now, we have so much input into our minds that when we're there, and maybe our Bible's there, and if your phone's here, and you have notifications selected on your phone, ding, 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 you know, and it keeps on dinging while you're trying to read the Bible and your phone's sitting right there, our great inclination is pick up the phone, look at it, swipe, put it down, you know, and then if there's like a little dot, you know, a little red circle signifying that there's something new, we're very inclined. I mean, the phone makers and the app makers want us to be using their phones, and so they design it to condition us that every time that thing gets a new input, I need to respond to it. But if I'm trying to make attention to God's word, it becomes a challenge. And so if that phone there or that something else there while you're trying to meditate on God's word begins to become a distraction, then turn it off, put it in airplane mode, do not disturb, whatever you do, but in a way so that you can focus on what God wants to speak to you. Because again, you're not getting wisdom. And our culture likes to anesthetize us to maintaining a soul that can just simply sit and listen to God. We feed on a lot of emotional experiences rather than being able to feed on God's word and be able to listen to Him with that still small voice. Additionally, someone that in our lives, if we're dominated by this culture, we're going to have a very difficult time resisting the evils of culture. You know, and with a child, you know, they may sit on your lap, you coach them, you give them skills, puzzles, strategy games, etc. And you may help them biblically solve problems in life. I realize some things, you know, as the young child comes to you and they're all distraught, and sometimes our daughter, you know, she'll come and she'll just, she drops something, or, you know, and we're just like, okay, let's make a choice to do right, make a choice, you know. And just trying to learn how to deal with emotions. Things may not go in the way that we're looking. And it's been a reminder and a rebuke to me at times to understand that, you know what, as I respond to her, I'm teaching her how to, again, deal with emotions. If I react incorrectly, I'm teaching her how to react incorrectly and thereby giving her wrong instruction by my example. And, you know, music lessons, sports training, learning a sport. You can learn a lot of discipline by learning a sport. You know, you may lose, you may not have someone say something, and you're put into a pressure situation. Now, it's obviously not a life or death there in sports, but they may think it is. But how to respond to maybe an unfair coach, an unfair referee, unfair teammates, whatever the case, but how do I respond to those pressure situations of life? And I need to learn how to deal with them in wisdom. You know, and if we just be able to get a child that, you know, is so focused on the results. I don't want my child, you know, kind of growing up, the thought was, you know, if you're dating and just as long as you're dating and, you know, in high school it was like, you know, if you don't get someone pregnant, that's good. But you've got to a point, you're just getting some very shallow idea and forming, you know, as long as I can skirt around the rules, but if I don't get caught, it's okay. But all we've done is, in choosing that, is displaying of a pride. A skilled rebel who knows how to use loopholes to get about what they want. And unfortunately, in those loopholes, you'll come to a place in your life with God. He'll shut the door. You can't find any loopholes, and you'll fall apart. And God will expose that pride, and it'll be very painful. And we're being watched. And so, if you think about this, in our own personal lives, you know, maybe as we're instructing others and leading others as Christians and Christians in the workplace, do we realize that others are watching us, and do they see me watching God? Do they see me following God? Obviously, the church attendance, do they ever, you know, maybe taking notes, see me studying the Bible? Do our family members see us studying the Bible, hear us talking to God, learning from God? What is God teaching us? How do I solve a problem? How do I deal with this in a biblical fashion? And this author says, many children reach their teen years never having been trained to pay attention to anyone, let alone God, or their elders, nor have they been taught how to reflect on truth in such a way that they are not forgetful hearers. and as such, it cannot be wise. It's never too late to start discipling someone in these disciplines and habits and develop and exhortation, rebuke, and explanation, all tools that we can find in the book of Proverbs, searching for wisdom. How do I get like that man on the rock? He heard Christ's words and he did them, but the foolish man heard, but he didn't apply. And he fell apart when the hard times came. And so we determine what we do with truth based upon, am I going to apply it or not? And the outcome is in our hands as we either apply or not. And so just as we think upon these truths this evening in regards to searching for wisdom, I trust, you know, that we would just ask the Lord, what are some areas in my life that I'm not applying wisdom? I'm not, executing that which you would have me to give out. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, if the Lord had spoken to your heart, maybe about a particular area, just give you a moment to pray and talk to the Lord, and then we'll conclude in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you do love us and you care for us. And Father, I just ask that you would help us to be like that wise man there on the rock that hears and applies. And Father, that we would search diligently as David did there in the Psalms and there in the Proverbs, Lord, with an intention of hearing and doing. And God, help all of us to be wise. Help us to search for wisdom and to live it out in understanding. Father, I thank you for all that you'll do and have done. Thank you for this evening. In Jesus' precious name I pray.